This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grady.
And with us in the Furman Garner Performance Studio, Curly Miller, Carol Ann Rose, Melanie Palmer, Ray Palmer. Combined, the four of them are?
The Old 78.
The Old 78. Welcome.
Hello. Well,
thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Is this more or less the Old 78's radio debut?
Yes.
It is.
I think so.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you made your debut on stage first? How did you guys meet each other? How did you get together?
Well, actually, we knew Ray from playing old-time music with Paul and Sky of Shout Lulu, and we played on their CD, which they actually recorded at our house, and I believe Ray was playing with them gigging. And so for their CD release party, we were playing with them, and Ray was playing with them, and Mel came along. We had never met her before, and her and I were sitting at one of the front tables, and I just started chatting with her. I love telling this story because I asked her if she was a musician, and she said yes, and she told me she played baritone sax, and I said, what kind of style of music do you play? And she said, oh, you know, I play some jazz. I'm like, jazz? Really? Like early jazz? And she's like, no, I don't know. And I said, well, Curly, my husband, plays kazoo to early jazz.
I know she was a keeper right here.
So that's kind of how we all met, was at that CD release party.
Mm-hmm. And Curly and Caroline hosted a New Year's party that we went to, which was the first time I'd spent a significant amount of time with them, and they had a requirement that if you came, you had to bring a musical instrument. And so Ray put my saxophone in the car, and I said, what am I going to do with a saxophone, a bunch of string players? And so that was the first time we'd played together, was that night.
The first time I heard a note out of that thing, it was like, I know what to do with that. All the years I've played music, I did not really know that a baritone sax was a bass-like instrument. I thought it was just a giant saxophone. It never registered that it was kind of a tuba-like instrument. And as soon as we heard it, we were... Carol...
In love.
Yeah, Carol said she wanted to sit next to her for the rest of her life.
That's right.
Curly, you mentioned you knew exactly what to do with the saxophone. What did that mean?
We came up through the old-time music scene, and I actually played in the Skirtlifters with Clark Buehling. Was kind of my introduction to the old-time world, but it was also an introduction to classic banjo, which was the banjo of the late 1800s and early 1900s, and mostly pre-recorded before much recording was going on, and very highly orchestrated. And sometimes they even played with a brass band, the great banjo players. And in the Skirtlifters, I played bowed bass first, which was very tuba-like. And Carol and I have been playing classic banjo for years, ever since we have known Clark, who happens to live in Fayetteville also. So as soon as I heard her blow those notes, it was like, oh my goodness. We know what to do with that. Of course, we didn't know what to do with Ray.
there was a tiny little mandolin banjo that nobody else was playing. And so that's another voice of the ensemble that needed somebody to plunk away on it. So
that's what's over to to my left, that small banjo?
Yes. Yeah, it has a banjo head, a little 7-inch banjo head, and a mandolin neck. So it's kind of a hybrid between the two instruments, and it's got a unique kind of sound. You can hear both a mandolin and a banjo in it, but it's a neat little niche instrument in the ensemble.
Now, you're the Old 78s proper, but on this new CD, The Women Wear No Clothes at All, a lot of your kindred spirits are there. Paul McGowan, Clark Buehling. Is it just kind of a fun time to get people like that in the studio with you?
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. And, I mean, Clark, most people around here don't realize what an effect he's had on music around the world. And he pulls stuff. He has just a wall of sheet music, and he pulls stuff, just the most delightful stuff off of sheet music that no one's ever even heard for, like, 150 years. And he'll just, every now and then, he'll just pull out a doozy. And we've got three tunes on there with him. And then there's two tunes with Paul McGowan and Seth Shoemate. And Paul has been you've done a bunch of stuff on Paul. He's a great singer and banjo player, and his wife is a wonderful singer and baritone uke player. And Paul is a real resource for us. I'm more of an arranger personally, but I don't really get on the computer and scour stuff, whereas Paul goes over stuff and he'll download all this music from like the teens and 20s, and so he's turned into an immense resource for us.
Now, you mentioned a lot about old-time music and classic banjo. So why is it that you guys kind of have this fascination with old music? It seems like a lot of times people want to create new music or come up with something different, and you guys are looking towards the past instead of looking forward.
Well, I would say to your point about looking for different music, what we play is different, even though it is based on old tunes. Curly arranges a lot of our music, most of our music, in fact. It's highly orchestrated in a very different way than most people out there play it. And so I think it's, even though we're rooted in an old tradition, it is very different music.
The crux of it is we're trying to take this wonderful, a lot of what we're doing now is actually woodwind or brass band or like early jazz stuff, and we're just trying to put it on as many banjos as we can.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned downloading music. I'm sure the internet has made searching for century-old or older music easier. You've got a new technology that's helping you find music that mm-hmm. was written more than 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's certainly I think there have always been catalogs of this kind of music and collections and libraries and things like that. But yeah, it's certainly much more accessible these days. That's really
to Paul. It's much more accessible to Paul, and then he puts it on CDs so that we can use our old technology to play it and learn it.
Paul and us have kind of gone in the same musical direction together. What we started out playing mostly, what people might call hillbilly fiddle tunes, but we kind of gravitated towards raggier stuff that was real prevalent, oddly enough, in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, and particularly in East Texas, which was the kind of the founding point of like Texas swing, but it was like way pre-Texas swing. And then when we hooked up with Ray and Mel with this incredible jazz background and the possibility to expand it into a sound that was big enough to do this early jazz stuff, not where with jazz that still had like a ragtime sort of melody. That's kind of where we're at right now. We're just kind of moving through all these different styles. And a lot of it is black music and jug band music. And it's just kind of fascinating. And we now have a chance to listen to everything.
Right. Instantly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And people can find a lot of these songs on your new album, The Women Wear No Clothes At All. And I wanted to ask you, where did you come up with the name for your album?
Well, actually, Dr. Bill McNeil at the Ozark Folk Center put together a compilation called Somewhere in Arkansas. He was an unbelievable researcher and an unbelievable resource to a lot of us here in Arkansas. He passed away quite a few years ago, but he did produce this three CD collection, and I happened to read about it and got on the phone right away and ordered it, which was really quite lucky because they only produced, what, Curly, 200 copies?
Yes.
200 copies. But in that collection was this fabulous tune, The Women Wear No Clothes At All. And I think the words are, the women wear no clothes at all, the women wear no clothes at all, the women wear no clothes at all, but they get there just the same. And just from my research, it did seem like it was a combination of a couple of other tunes, and perhaps this older fellow didn't quite hear all the words, as well as they could have been. There's another line, the women Wear No Sunday Shoes. And so shoes and clothes, you know, it could have gone together in his mind. But anyway, he sings that verse seven times. So go ahead, Curly.
He was 75 years old in 1927.
Ooh, so.
When it was recorded, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was a teenager during the Civil War.
Right. Pre-Civil War.
Yes.
We've mentioned the CD. You, mm-hmm. People can also see you at times live. Let's let them know how to do that.
Well, actually, we play the third Saturday of every month at the VA Hospital Auditorium right off of College. And it is a contra dance. It starts at 7 for beginner instruction, and the music starts at 7:30. It goes till 10. The four of us play, and then we do bring guest musicians in. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of the core group at this point, and we have callers who teach the dance, and then we play our hearts mm-hmm. out, and they dance it over and over, and it is a great deal of fun, especially we're sitting up on stage, and there's people twirling and smiling and interacting with each other. It's a really great activity. We've been doing it since 1993.
It's good exercise, and it's very, we have beginners every month. There's like, and now the dance has gotten really big. It's a gorgeous hall. It's yeah. We've played dances in some of the nicer places across the country, and this is a beautiful hall with a wood floor and a big stage, and there's beginners every month, and they run them through instruction, and you can come if you're single because the experienced dancers will target you out and get you out there and teach you how to dance. So.
Well, you're here, so would you mind playing some music for us?
Oh, that'd be great.
This tune we're going to play is called Beaver Slide Rag, and it was done by Peg Leg Howlin' and his gang in 1927, and it was on a CD, a compilation of African-American fiddle players called Violin Sings the Blues. 3, 4...